Quite a few of your brothers and sisters have been inquiring a little about this aspect of the prayer and the weather on my behalf. So before we go to the words of God and share tonight, I'd like to make an announcement. I have just passed from the critical phase of asking and begging onto that triumphant phase of thanksgiving. Since the weather will not adjust to me, I find that I will adjust to the weather. But as a matter of fact, a little chorus came to me today that I tried a few years ago to teach some of the brothers and sisters down in Raleigh. And I think I'd like to teach you all this little chorus because it deals with the weather. It goes like this. It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, and I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and things are gonna get better. Living each day by the promises of God's word. Will you sing it? Would you like to sing it with me? It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, and I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and things are gonna get better. Living each day by the promises of God's word. Now let's try once more, and so we will have no trouble anymore in the conference. In regard to the weather, whatsoever. We are just up above, triumphantly, in the Lord. So let's sing together, all of us. It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, and I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and things are gonna get better. Living each day by the promises of God's word. Hallelujah. Now will you turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And verse 26 and 27. We'll be sharing tonight on the matter of prayer and the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's turn to the Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you this evening that we can be together in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, and we can know that you are in the midst of us, according to your promises. Lord, we thank you that we know that apart from you we can do nothing. Lord, we realize this even tonight. But we also thank you for that you have said that through him we can do anything. Through him we can do all things. Lord, we do stand tonight in our own weakness, but also in that strength which is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to make it a reality that we may indeed hear your word and be able to speak it in your authority and in your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. May you be glorified, Lord, tonight. This is our desire, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that one of the reasons why many of the brothers and sisters have difficulties to get into a deeper experience in prayer is the fact that we have such a lack in understanding the operation of the person of the Holy Spirit regarding prayer. What we need when we really want to get into the prayer life is not a method. Many Christians are looking for a method, but we don't need a method. What we need is an encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit. He alone is able to lead us into prayer and to teach us to pray. I think we can divide Christians into three categories in the matter of prayer. There are those who are not able, who know their weakness, and so they don't pray, because they realize that they are weak and they are not able to pray. In other words, they know not. We call them know not Christians. And they make their lack of knowledge and their lack of ability an excuse for not praying. This was never what the Lord wanted. Well, he has said that apart from him we can do nothing, and we are weak, and we do not know how to pray. But he has said something more. He has said that through him we can do all things, including prayer. And that the Spirit comes to help our weakness. So it's not sufficient in the eyes of the Lord that if you are a no-not Christian. Then of course there's another category, and those are the ones who know how. I think this is an expression who is been invented in the United States, know-how. We speak of selling know-how to the underdeveloped world. And there is some Christians who are know-how Christians. They just know how to do it. And so they pray. But in the eyes of the Lord, they don't pray, because what they are doing are not reckoned to be prayer at all. They are, in other words, they are using that the natural ability that they may have. Maybe they are able to make themselves clear. They have a fine language. But this is not prayer. They have a basic problem. If we could say that the first category has a basic problem, it is not that they are weak, but that they have a lack of trust in the person and the workings of the Holy Spirit. This is what is the basic lack of the first category, those that I call know not. But those that know how, they have another basic lack in their lives, and that is that they ignore the person and the workings of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, there is the third category. And that is the category that I call those called Know Him Christians. They know Him. They know the person of the Holy Spirit. And they know how to trust Him entirely for their prayer life. And this is the kind of Christians that the Lord wants to make every one of us and know Him, Christians, regarding to prayer, that we may indeed know that wonderful person of the Holy Spirit who is able to lead us and supply us with everything we need in order to be able to pray. And I will never forget when the Lord really opened up my eyes so that I saw that one of the problems I had regarding my prayer life, my prayer life was centered around needs. Whenever there was a big need, oh, I could get down on my knees and I get started praying for that need, especially if it was a personal need. But even if there was a need in the church or in the family, I could pray, but then at times when there were no need, I didn't pray. Because what had motivated me was the need. But one day the Lord showed me that this is not the motivation for prayer. The motivation for prayer is to be spirit motivated, not need motivated. To know Him, the person, the living person of the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of grace and supplication, of grace and of prayer. Oh, how exciting it is to discover the person of the Holy Spirit in this matter of prayer. And to come alive to the fact that He is with us. He has come to abide with us. And He dwells within us. I would say it frankly that every born-again believer can pray. And can pray as long as the Lord wants him to pray. And can pray as well as the Lord wants him to pray. There's no excuse whatsoever that we can use in regard to prayer. We cannot keep going saying, well, I'm too weak and I don't know what to pray, so I stay home from the prayer meeting because I'm so weak and all the rest of the friends think you are so spiritual. You are a no-nut or another kind of nut. That's what you are. We cannot go on saying that we cannot pray and we have no ability. We have come to put the emphasis on the negative side. This was never what the Lord meant us to do. He wants us to see it is true that we cannot pray. We don't know what to pray about and we are certainly weak. But the Spirit comes and helps our weakness. Hallelujah. He really does. And there's no time where you and I cannot find that place of praying. If we have the desire to pray, He will be there immediately to assist us, to help us. I love that expression, that name of the Holy Spirit. He is the helper. He is the helper. He is the great teacher. Didn't the Lord tell us that He will guide you into all truth? That includes the truth about prayer and intercession. We don't need to look for any outward help, any method, any prayer book, any system that can help us to fill out the time when we go to a prayer meeting. I shall never forget when the Lord began to speak to us about having all night of prayer. We've had that privilege several times in the work in Copenhagen to stay together throughout the whole night. I shall never forget when we announced that the Lord had put that upon our hearts. There were a lot of the brothers and sisters who came to say, well, what bothers us is not that we will become weak and it will be a little difficult the next morning. There could be a problem, but listen what the Lord is saying in Romans 8, in verse 11. This is one of the promises I have laid hold on when we have been extended times of prayer, all night prayer. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Isn't that wonderful? He can even quicken our bodies so that we are able to pray all night through and not have any loss of strength or power if we are to go to the job next morning. I've experienced it myself. He is able to quicken our mortal bodies. But it is not only that reason that some of the brothers and sisters were a bit worried about these all-night prayers. They said, how on earth are we going to be able to fill out that whole time? One brother said to me, all I've got is one prayer. Do you want me to repeat it every every 15 minutes? And you know, this is part of our problem. We are looking for a standard prayer that we can shoot up to heaven every now and then. And but brothers and sisters, there's such a lack of trust in our lives in the workings of the Holy Spirit. He is able, I tell you, to burden us in such a way that you won't believe that 7 hours can go like that, and you look at your watch and you say, my word, is the time 6 o'clock in the morning? I just feel we have just started. He can burden our hearts in such a way that we cannot get away from praying. Oh, there are such marvelous opportunities and experience ahead of us. Such adventures in prayer. If we could only see beyond our inadequacy, beyond our weakness, and get out of the fear because we are weak, and look to the Lord, not look to our weakness, but look to the one who is the helper and can help us in a most amazing way in prayer. So we don't have to look for any formula of prayer. There isn't anything, such a thing in the Word of God called a method of prayer. Not even the Lord's Prayer is meant to be a method or a standard prayer that we are using. There was a man from the Lutheran Church in Denmark that once asked me if I were not greatly excited by the thought that every Sunday in around about 2,000 Lutheran churches there will be said this wonderful prayer. And I looked at him and I said, no, I'm not sure that it impresses me at all, because prayer has nothing to do with a system or a method or a standard prayer. Prayer is a matter of spirit. It's not even words sometimes. You don't even have to have the words. It's a matter of spirit. Listen to these words that the Spirit intercedes with groaning so deep that no words can utter them. It's a matter of spirit. It's not a matter of word. If you turn to Matthew 6, you will see that there is something that we call prayer that the Lord does not reckon to be prayer. Matthew 6, 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Meaningless repetition has nothing to do with prayer. I don't think that anything fantastic is going to happen in Denmark because we have a repetition of a prayer in our churches every Sunday. It's not a matter of many words, and sometimes it's not even a matter of words. It's a matter of prayer, of spirit. Spirit. This is what the scripture calls for prayer. If you go to James 4, you will see that we have these categories described in James 4, those that know not, those that know how, and those that know him. James 4 and verse 2, and the last sentence, you do not have because you do not ask. This is your those who know not. They know not how to pray, so they don't pray. And because they don't pray, they don't have. And then it goes on in verse 3, you ask and you do not receive, because you ask with strong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is the other category. Those that know how, those that have the natural ability and the natural desire that want to get things from themselves. And this is not prayer, and it is not answered. But when you go down to verse 5, or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. This is all set in the context of prayer. What the Lord is desiring, what he is looking after, is the spirit that he made to dwell within us. And as soon as the spirit comes forth, then we have prayer. Then it is prayer. Then we know him, and we know the one that is able to make us pray, and to make us pray in such a way that our prayers are touching the heart of the Father. Meaningless repetition. This is something we find many times when we are centered in our needs when we pray, and we don't know the Spirit. We pray for so many needs, and it's becoming a problem for some Christians. Whenever they go to their prayer time and they begin to pray, then all kind of things comes into their mind that they ought to pray for. I talked to a Norwegian pastor a few years ago, and he said to me, I have such a problem in prayer. Whenever I go to seek the Lord and start to pray, then all the different subjects of prayer that ought to be covered come to me. Suddenly I realize, Lord, what am I going to speak on next Sunday? Lord, what about the conference coming up? Who am I going to invite? Lord, by the way, how are we going to get the money to pay the rent for the house? And all kind of things comes in, and it piles up, and it becomes a lot of words. Oh, we must learn to know the operation of the Holy Spirit in prayer. We must learn to center on Him in prayer, so that He will be able to help us and lead us into prayer. I often think of this matter of prayer, and forgive me, because I've been in telecommunication, telephone and telegraph system. I often think of these kind of communications when I think of prayer. I think of heaven as a large telegraph station. The dear Lord will forgive me for changing His wonderful paradise into such a busy place. It's in matter to illustrate it for you. And there, whenever somebody prays on earth, the telegram is being brought to the head office by angels going up and down, as we learned in Sunday school, the ladder of Jacob. They go up and they go down. They go down to get our prayer telegram, and they go back and deliver it into the telegraph office. And there is an angel, a responsible angel in charge, and he looks through that fantastic pile of telegrams coming up, and somebody is sending a telegram, Lord, send me $50. Lord, help my wife, she's using too much money. Lord, I need a new pair of shoes. And so on, a lot of prayer requests, a lot of telegrams. And then the angel, he looks through all that big pile, and he's looking for something. There are three different kinds of telegrams. There's a telegram marked "No, not." There's a telegram marked "No, how." And there's a telegram marked "No, him." Those that have been in touch with the Spirit. And as soon as he gets the telegram "No, him," a prayer through the Spirit, he takes it out of the pile and he passes it on to the Father. And the Father takes it and he delivers it to some other angel in charge of the big, big heavenly storehouse with all kinds of goods and wonderful things to supply our need. And then he says, please deliver the goods. But you know what happens with all the other telegrams? They go in the largest paper basket or litter can that is in the whole universe. There is something that we reckon to be prayer that is not prayer at all. Everything that is not born of the Spirit cannot touch the throne. We need more than having a... If you're looking for a method, I'm afraid you'll be greatly disappointed. I have no method to give you. If you're looking for some suitable words to utter, some phrases, well, we've got enough of them. And we learn one another. We teach one another. And sometimes when you go to a prayer meeting, you can hear... that they have all picked up the same phrase in prayer. They are all praying the same prayer. They are all expressing them the same way, because they want to be, for instance, like the pastor. He is praying so beautifully. We have no method to offer. We really don't know how to pray. Even when we think we do, we do know how to pray. We don't know how to pray, we have no way, and we are weak. But the Spirit comes and helps our weakness. And that is the key to entering into a deeper prayer life, an effective prayer life. Weakness is no problem. It has never been a problem with God. We think that it is a problem that we are weak, but it is not a problem with God that we are weak. On the contrary, the basic qualification for being able to become a real man or woman of prayer is just to know that we are weak and stay in our own weakness. So if you are one of these know-not Christians and you feel so inadequate and you have sort of withdrawn out of fear joining prayer and joining prayer meetings because you really feel weak and feeble and you don't know how to express yourself, well, congratulations. You are just the one the Lord is looking for. You are just the one that has the possibility of coming into a real effective prayer life. Weakness is no problem for God. It never has been. Weakness can never limit God. He is not limited by a human vessel that are weak and inadequate and does not know how to express himself. There are other things that can limit God in our lives, but not weaknesses. Look at that man Paul when you turn to the famous chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses than that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Weakness is no limitation for God. It is, on the contrary, it is a possibility for God to operate in us. So I would rather be a know-not then I would be a know-how in prayer. I would rather be in that position of being aware of my own weakness, of knowing that I am not able to pray, of being filled with fear and trembling. I would rather be a know-not than be a know-how. But most of all, I would be a know-him. And when Paul is speaking about his weakness, he is not stopping there. He is going on and he is saying, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He is pointing to the possibilities of the Lord to be able to work in him and work through him. And he has chosen that position because he has come into a situation where he has learned really to trust the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is what we need more than anything else, to trust the Holy Spirit. And when he preaches Paul, he is in the same situation. He has willingly left any external method or any natural ability or any natural resource or anything of his educational background that might be a help for him to express himself using wonderful words and so on. He has willingly left the know-how position to come down to the know-not position in order to come into the know-him position. That when I'm weak, I am strong. We do not know how to pray. But the Spirit helps our weakness. I like this way it is put. It helps our weakness. He helps our weakness. He never helps our strength. He never helps our ability. He is not there to sort of polish our prayers a little so they become a little more attractive. Not at all. He won't support, He won't sustain anything of our own. He is there to do all the work by Himself. Weakness is no limitation for God. Praise His name. What a possibility! What a gospel when we think of prayer! What a freedom! How we all feel that the burdens are lifted of us, because we are not the ones who have to speculate to pull ourselves together and to get into this hard matter of praying and enduring while we are gnashing our teeth and trying to go on throughout the night if we are having an all-night prayer. Oh no, thank God, we are not. We can come as empty and weak we are. I do believe that every time I go to a prayer meeting, I feel that I'm not able. And sometimes when we brethren are sitting before the meeting and looking at one another, we really express we would rather go from the whole thing. We don't know what to do with that prayer meeting. A prayer meeting is sometimes the most difficult meeting to manage, because we cannot manage it, and we ought not to manage it. It's a responsibility of the Holy Spirit. And many times I've sat down in a chair and in my heart I have been thinking, oh, if I could be home in my bed. I feel it so heavy and so on. But as soon as we go down and we open up our hearts to the Lord, oh, the many times I've left a prayer meeting so refreshed, so rejoicing, so glad, so satisfied, so excited. Weakness is no... It is no limitation, and therefore neither can it be an excuse. You cannot any longer, dear brother, dear sister, you cannot any longer hide yourself behind your weakness. The Lord is calling you to a life of prayer not based on your ability, on the contrary, based on your disability. You have to come to the Lord some time or another and say that you trust the Holy Spirit. You trust His ability. You trust the Helper to come into operation in your life and to teach you and guide you into all the truth and to give you that divine supply and energy so that you are able to begin to pray and to go on and pray as long as the Lord wants you to pray. Amen. Even if He wants you to pray all the night through, it is possible. It has been possible for me and many others, and it is possible for you, because there is a Helper and He is able. He knows the will of God, And he can direct us into that will of God. And not only that, he can direct us into the very burden that is upon God's heart and make us partakers of that burden. And I tell you, my friend, you will be so stirred up that you will even sometimes begin to cry to God. I've been surprised sometimes when I look at myself in prayer. Usually I am just a very calm person in prayer and pray very silently and so on. But sometimes when the Spirit is directing us and leading us into the burden that is upon God's heart, we begin to cry unto God. And we sense those deep groanings that cannot be uttered in words. Oh, what a burden God can give you and me through the Holy Spirit. And that will get us down to the work of prayer. No, not even our own foolishness is a limitation. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 28, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. And in verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Yeah, perhaps you are foolish. That is no excuse either. You may be weak, but you may also be foolish. But that is no excuse. He has chosen the foolish things in the world to make ashamed those things that are something. God is not looking for you to present fine prayers or a strong ability. He has the wonderful supply. He can make you whatever he wants to make you through that blessed Holy Spirit, that Spirit of prayer and supplication. No, it is neither weakness nor foolishness, lack of understanding, not knowing. It is other things. It is natural cleverness that can hinder God. It is past experiences that can hinder God. It is man-made systems and methods and standards of how to pray. Oh, the church is full of these. This can hinder God. And some other things can hinder God. And that is, if we grieve that Holy Spirit, we are not able to pray. Many times in my life, I know that the most sensitive part of my Christian life is my prayer life. If something is not as it ought to be between me and the Lord, or between me and my brothers and sisters,
let's turn your cassette over.
If something is not as it ought to be between me and the Lord, or between me and my brothers and sisters, immediately it is felt in the prayer life. Sometimes when something happens in the family, I have a nice family, and I have a wonderful wife, and we have a wonderful marriage. We've been married for more than 20 years. But now and then we have troubles. over one of the kids, or maybe within our marriage relationship. And sometimes a little word that is too harsh, too hard has been uttered. Often on the way out of the house, going someplace to minister. And then, you know, I've often, when I came to that place to minister, and when I saw the Lord's face, oh, I felt that there was something that was not released in me. I couldn't pray. And the only thing I could do was to get to a telephone. Even sometimes when I've been quite a distance away, there's something, praise God, called long distance call. And get to that telephone and lift up that receiver and get home and say this little word, "Forgive me, darling. I'm sorry." This is what could hinder us in prayer. Do you know this is what Peter is saying, is telling us in 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Weakness is no hinder, thank God. Natural disability is no hindrance. Foolishness is no hindrance. Lack of understanding is no hindrance. But to grieve that sensitive Holy Spirit, that will finish us as far as prayer is concerned. Or another matter concerning our brothers and sisters in Mark 11, of the same kind, where the Lord is teaching on prayer, Mark 11, 24 and 25. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. This is the real hindrances of prayer in our life. The Spirit helps us. As long as the Spirit can work freely in us, first of all by our trusting Him, really trusting Him by faith, that the Spirit is there within and He is able to help us in prayer. And then that we have that pure conscience before the Lord and before one another. Oh, then we are ready and we are able to pray and give ourselves to prayer. The Spirit helps us. Now, how does the Spirit help us? What is the Spirit going to do? Now, we must consider ourselves to be vessels, instruments for prayer. The Spirit is going to use us. We are not the one who is in the center, but we are an instrument that the Spirit is going to use. What will the Spirit do? The Spirit will take, it says in John 16, of that which belongs to the Lord Jesus, and He will give it unto us. This is something that we often think of when we are witnessing for the Lord, when we are preaching or teaching His Word, that we need the Holy Spirit to come and to take of that which is Christ's and give it unto us, so that we will be able to share what we have been given by the Spirit. But this is something that goes for prayer too. The Spirit will take of that which is Christ and give it unto us. And do you know that there's one who is praying as no one could ever pray, day and night, and that is that wonderful high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that great intercessor, who is interceding day and night before the Father for all the saints. There is such powerful, such strong prayer and intercession coming up before the Father from His dear Son. And how is the Spirit going to help us when it comes to that matter of prayer? The Spirit is going to take of that which is Christ, to take of His burden in prayer and intercession and give it unto us. Oh, how marvelous that is, that we become co-intercessors with the Lord Jesus Himself, that we become partakers of His prayer ministry, His ministry in intercession, that somehow a little of that burning fire that is in the Lord Jesus Christ can fall down in our hearts, and we can join in with Him praying and interceding before our Father for all the saints. This is how the Spirit helps us. This is why it says that when the Spirit helps us, He gives us, He makes us partake in those groanings that are so deep that they cannot be uttered in words. He is guiding us into the very prayers and intercession of the high priest himself. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have got so small ideas of what prayer and intercession is. Our prayers is centered around our needs. And when we begin to pray, the needs is piling up. And it is as Lance mentioned this morning, someone speaking to us on the phone, and they keep speaking and speaking and speaking, and nobody on the other end can ever get a word said. And there was one phoning me, a lady, some months ago, and when I lifted up the receiver, she started to talk. She talked about her daughter. She had been downtown, and they had met a certain person, and did I know that that person was going to be married recently, and they were all being invited to that wedding, and so on and so on. And while she talked, I tried to say, I would like to, but I didn't got a chance. It was like a machine gun. She kept on for 10 to 15 minutes, and then suddenly she said, "Well, that was what I would like to say to you. I must go now." And then I said, wait a minute, I think you've got the wrong number. Well, I do feel that sometimes when the Lord is sitting up with that great switchboard in heaven, and all the calls are coming in, and the line is connected to the Lord, and then we begin, "Lord, help my wife, help my kids, Lord, bless my wallet, bless my dog, help me, Lord, I go broke." And we speak and we speak and we speak and we speak, and the Lord is trying, oh, well, wait a minute, there's just something I would like to add here. We never give him any opportunity to speak to him. Oh, we have got so small ideas of what prayer is about. But when the Spirit comes and helps us, he guides us into a much greater prayer perspective. He makes us partake of the intercession and prayer ministry of the Lord Jesus himself. And even if we thought when we went down to pray that we ought to pray for that and so, as we wait upon the Lord and for the Spirit to lead us and guide us, we end up praying for something else. Because God has some needs too. God has something upon his heart too. God has a cry in his heart that he would like to share with us. God has something that it appears as if it makes him sometimes kind of desperate in his love for a lost humanity, in his longing and desire to see his spiritual house being built, that Zion becoming a reality. God has something upon his heart too. And when it is the Spirit who is leading us and comes to help us, we become partakers of his prayer ministry. And if you look at the Lord's prayer, you will see that this is the place where the Lord is saying, you don't have to tell him about all these needs that you have and describe them in detail, or tell him your life story of what you have been doing all the day from morning to night. And Lord, this morning I went up at 6 o'clock and I went down to the baker shop and I met this, and then I had lunch, Lord, and then I met this, this, and that brother, and then we had this meeting, you know, Lord, and so on and so forth. And we tell him the whole life story, and he knows everything about it, even before we experienced it. He knows our need. We don't have to tell him all these things. That is why the great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, opens up with, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's a God-centered prayer. The emphasis is not on needs, not our needs at least, but on his needs. When the Holy Spirit is leading us, he will make us partakers of the burden that is upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to Zechariah 12 and see another scripture. This is where the Holy Spirit is called and named the Spirit of Grace and Supplication. Zechariah 12:10, And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. the spirit of grace and supplication. Now, the Spirit comes and helps us. How does He help us? He takes of that which is Christ and gives it unto us. How does He take that which is of Christ and give it to us? He is guiding us to that only place of grace, which is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is at the foot of that cross that we partake in the burden of God. It is there that prayer does not become a matter of pulling oneself together, of trying the best we can, but prayer becomes a rushing of water inside, something irresistible, something moving deep within us, that it is no longer a matter of finding the best words we can find and taste the words and putting them together to a beautiful prayer, but it becomes something deep within, including groaning, so deep that sometimes we stop speaking. We cannot just find the words. Oh, prayer is a matter of grace in the first place. No one of us can ever become great warriors of prayer if we have not come to that place of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have seen Him and beheld Him that was pierced. At that place of grace, that Spirit of grace will turn into a spirit of supplication, a spirit of prayer, so irresistible, so burdened, so fierce, so strong, that we cannot but pray. Some of us think that when we have to pray for sinners in the world, that the thing that ought to motivate us is that we really see the needs of these poor sinners. But I tell you that we cannot, through that way, come into real intercession ministry for a lost world. This is not enough. We have to come to that place where the Holy Spirit is drawing the veil from our eyes, and we are beholding the Lord Jesus Christ in His agony for sinners, seeing Him in His pain, realizing that He died to reconcile every creature, every human being, and die to forgive every sin, not only ours, but the sins in the whole world. And when we come by that Spirit of grace to that place of grace, and we look into that marvelous love of God, and we see how He loved the world so deeply that He offered His sacrifice, His Son, and He shed the blood of His Son to pay for that guilt and pay for that debt. Oh, it is never then a question of how we should pray. It becomes like a rush of water within us. It becomes such a power within us. It is, as Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, and verse 14 and 15, when he speaks about those that are outside Christ and are lost in the world in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of God, the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now the word here is, the love of Christ controls us. It says in other versions, the love of Christ constraineth us. And that word constraineth, I have been told, in its original meaning has the idea of a rushing of water, a river of water. Now when Paul was held captive and felt that he ought to preach that gospel to sinners, and his heart burned to present that gospel for the unsaved world, for the Gentile world, it was certainly not because he had some natural compassion with his fellow human beings. No, it was because he had been led to that place where he had by that Spirit of grace, behold the Son of God, he who died for all mankind, he who offered up his life for every human being, he who took and bore the guilt and penalty of all sin upon his body. And when he saw it, oh brothers and sisters, it was not a question of offering a tiny, fine little prayer. He became so burdened. He said, woe if I not preach the gospel. And we can say the same when the Spirit of God is leading us out there, leading us to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, opening our eyes so that we see his agony and his pain and his blood and his cross and his love for a lost world. We become intercessors for America and Britain and Denmark. That wonderful missionary, Zinzendorf, he never became a missionary because he felt sorry for those German people down there. No, once he went into a little village church to pray and seek the Lord, and he had been some time in prayer, he opened his eyes and he saw at the end of the church there was a painting of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And somehow he was taken captive by that vision and those eyes of the Lord just looked down upon him. And underneath that cross was written, this I have done for you. What have you done for me? And when he rose from that time of prayer, the call of the Lord burned in his heart. He could never come away, get away from it, ever since. Oh, the Holy Spirit is able to make us those missionaries, evangelists, a praying people, intercessors. He is able because he takes of that which is Christ and he reveals it unto us, and he gives us of that burden. I shall never forget how the Lord led me into intercessions for Denmark and for a few other countries. I've never had any particular need or felt any particular burden for unsaved people until I got this encounter with the Holy Spirit that I will speak of now. I'm so glad that Paul didn't say that that the love of me constrains me. I'm so glad. Because Paul, he didn't love people either by nature. I don't. We all don't. We are weak. We do not know how. But there is something called the love of Christ. There is such a supply of love by the Holy Spirit that we can partake in. I went to Oslo to preach in big tent meetings in my early days as an evangelist. And I came to that town, and it was in the summertime, and the pastor of the big Pentecostal church, he could not receive me because he had to go to see some friends. So they put me into a hotel room and said that they will be back within 24 hours and then we would fellowship and then we would begin the meetings. I was so glad I got that time, because I got down to pray right away to seek the Lord for the following ministry. And as I was praying, I felt such an emptiness within. I felt such a weakness. And I felt how I was not able at all to really feel anything at all for those people that I was going to minister to. So I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, please help me. I cannot go on into that ministry unless you touch me. You must do something for me. I cannot take it by myself. I have no way, Lord. I have no power. I have no compassion for souls. You must do something, Lord. I will never be able to do something for you unless you do something for me. And that is true. It is the Spirit of grace that leads us into the Spirit of prayer. So the Lord revealed to me, it is one of these few times in your lifetime that you get a special encounter with the Lord. And I actually saw in vision the Lord at that cross. He didn't speak to me. There was no need to speak to me. All I saw was sufficient. I began to cry and weep before the Lord. And then after one or two hours, I stopped to go down into the city of Oslo just to get something to drink. And while I crossed the big square, it was midsummer feast, I saw all these young people coming with big gray boxes of beer and alcohol and liquor. And I saw them sitting in the restaurants. And suddenly, it appeared to me that hell was painted upon their faces. It became so real to me that all of these people would go lost forever without Christ. And while I stood there paralyzed on that square, weeping, and people went passed me by, and some were looking and trying to find a handkerchief or something else to help me, I just ran back to my room and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I cannot bear it. It is becoming too heavy for me. Lord, I cannot stand that burden. I cannot know that these people without you are lost for eternity. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I cried, and I sweat. And in the morning, I had to ask the Lord to take away that burden. I couldn't stand it anymore. It was unbearable. And I suddenly realized the burden that is within the heart of God for a lost world. So strong. So filled with fire and compassion that I can understand that there is within the Holy Spirit groanings that cannot be uttered. And by the way, it's the same thing when we speak of the church, and we speak of the unity of the church, and we speak of being built up together, and we see how it all is and all the division. Brothers and sisters, just looking through all the divisions won't make it. It is not going to make any deeper impression upon us. This will not make us pray for God to have His Zion and have His church built in our age. We have to come to that place of grace and realize that He not only died to forgive the sin of the people, but He died to make all of the Lord's people one in Him. I tell you, brother and sister, that if the Holy Spirit once gets you out to that place of grace, and you behold the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and you begin to realize that He gave His life to get that unity and to get all His people into one, you will never be able to escape intercession for all the things. It comes upon you as a burden. You will cry to God that He will indeed meld together His people, knit together His people. It is when the Spirit of grace can lead us to that place of grace that the Spirit of prayer is operating within us and through us. Oh, may the Lord help us. Prayer and the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, He is here. He is able to lead us right now. He can make you an intercessor right now. You can partake of His burden right now. Don't hide yourself anymore behind your weakness, behind your disability. And don't rely on your know-how, but get to know in a deeper way Him that is able, Him that helps our weakness and intercedes for the saints in us according to the will of God with groanings that are so strong that they cannot be uttered. May God help us in His name. Lord, we ask that You should make us all to know Him in our prayer life. Oh God, touch our lives Oh, Lord, do something for us that we can raise up and do something for you. Lord, we realize that we need that divine touch. We do realize that we are weak, Father, and that we don't know how to pray. But Lord, we look unto that wonderful, blessed, heavenly dove, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall upon us, come upon us, work within us in these days, burden us with your prayer and with your intercessor. Lord, give us a share in your burden. Give us to be partakers of your fire. Lord, we need it. We are sick and tired of all our own work. Lord, we are sick and tired of all the small prayers, while we have such a great God that sacrificed himself. Lord, we want to come to you. We want you to make us a people of prayer and intercession. We want you to make us vessels and instruments of the Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy upon us. But we pray. Thank you that you are able. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.